Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Patricia.
Can I ask that we all quiet down and sit back and enjoy our prelude this morning as we begin our service on love?
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Todd Diston, and I'm a member of the Board of Trustees for this fellowship. A couple of notes. We welcome all, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religious background, or political affliction. I wish it was affliction. Sometimes it is affliction. Affiliation. Factors that can separate people in the larger culture. I request to help maintain the sacred atmosphere of our worship room. We ask you to take a moment to please turn off your cell phones, of course, unless they play My Funny Valentine or What Does Love Have to Do with It, either one today. Also, please be aware that babysitting is available should your children need special attention during the worship time. And for the next several months, our services will be led by the many members of our congregation, guest speakers and guest ministers. If you are new to our fellowship, we suggest you attend several services as they are sure to somewhat differ in different flavors. I wish to call your attention to the announcements contained within the order of service. As you know, Frost Valley Weekend is coming up, which is April 22nd through the 24th. This is actually a social weekend in upstate New York for our fellowship. And today, Molly and Serge are here to tell us a little bit more about this special weekend. Oh, Molly and Serge?
Good morning. I'm Serge, this is Molly, and this is Simone. Our family has been going to Frost Valley for 12 years. It's a regular spring ritual for us, a rite of spring, actually. We look forward to it all winter long and plan around it. It's a great way to get to know other UUers and to meet people that maybe you don't get that much chance to socialize with. It's a very informal setting, and we find it to be a true community event. There are kids biking around. There are people sitting down by the river doing what we call stonework. There are kids hunting newts in the pond. There are people going into the woods to crack stones. There are various activities going on, and you can join them or not participate them as you wish. In the evening, we have a wonderful chapel service, followed by a talent show, and then Scrabble and board games. And it's just a great place to get away, maybe meditate a little bit, meditate on nature, and occasionally be rewarded with an extravagant gesture. A couple of years ago, we arrived and heard peeping at night outside our lodge, tremendous peeping. And the kids went out with flashlights, and they discovered a frog mating ritual going on that went on for the whole weekend. And it was a fantastic thing. So we truly encourage everyone to consider coming. It's just a great event.
Simone said of Frost Valley, it's funny, it's only one weekend a year, but it's so important. And I love this community, and I love spring in the woods, and I recommend it highly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see, the last thing is, I really would like to welcome everybody for the special service today, and thank you all for joining us. Yeah?
Our opening words this morning come from Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who is a visionary French Jesuit, a paleontologist, a biologist, and a philosopher, who spent the bulk of his life trying to integrate religious experience with natural science. And he says, "The day will come when, after harnessing space, the winds, the tides, and gravitation, we shall harness the energies of love. And on that day, for the second time in history, we shall have discovered fire." This morning we welcome Curtiman Weiss, who is a participant in our coming-of-age program, and he will light our chalice this morning. So, Curtiman, if you'd come forward, and I ask you to please stand as you are able and read our chalice lighting, which Curtiman will lead us in, which is in our order of service.
May the light of
this flame illuminate our lives and strivings of the Spirit. May it heal misunderstanding and strengthen love. And please remain standing as we recite our unison affirmation. Love is the doctrine of this fellowship. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek truth in love, to serve humanity in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony. Thus do we covenant with one another. Thanks, Carterman. Community is about making connections. So let us take a brief moment, and I emphasize both the words brief and moment, to quietly greet the people who are standing around us and offer them a gesture of peace. Thank you very much for being peaceful and friendly and brief and kind. You may all be seated. I'm hoping this morning we have some young people here, younger than, say, 18. Do we have any young people here? Can we raise our hands? Young people, yes, yes, yes. What special day can someone tell me is coming tomorrow? What special day? It's Valentine's Day. And today we have a service that's about, well, what's Valentine's Day about? Love. Good. We have a service about love. And the choir is going to sing a song now. And it's a song for you. And we want to make sure that you listen very carefully to the words. Okay? It's a song especially for the children who are sitting with their parents, and it's for the children who are also sitting with their children. The choir, please.
Choose one special one.
Some race on ahead, some follow behind, some go in their own way and time. Some women love women,
some men love men,
some raise children, some never do. You can dream all the day, never reaching the end of all the things possible for you. Don't be rattled by names, by taunts, by games, but seek out Spirit's truth. If you give your friends the best part of yourself, they'll give the same back to you. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're gone.
And the only measure of your words and your deeds
will be the love, will be the love you leave behind when you're done. Oh, when you're done.
And with that message of love for our children, we will now sing them out to their program for the day. Marshall rushes to the piano. Part of being a community is staying connected to each other. We do this by paying attention to what's happening in each other's lives, sharing the joys, and lending support in the difficult times. Each week, we take this time to do this in a very intentional way. If there is some particular joy or sadness you wish to share today, you may come forward and light a candle and share it with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Jacoby, and I wanted to make sure I got up here before somebody had something serious to say. This is a candle of joy. Several months ago, I was experiencing some age-related discomfort, and after several doctors and a chiropractor and an acupuncturist basically had no solutions, one doctor finally said, get a different mattress. So we set about to get a different mattress. And the wrong one at first was delivered, and then, you know, finally we found one online. It's a Tempur-Pedic for those of you who... So we finally found one online. It arrived on Friday. This was shortly after the pillows arrived, so we had a chance to, like, you know, feel this material, and it's very strange stuff. And so it arrived Friday, and on Friday evening, Don and I sort of struggled to get it upstairs, and it wasn't going, it wasn't fitting. So figuring that this was one of those things that only a couple of guys could do, I called a friend of mine, and he came over, and his thought was, well, if we dismantle the banister, it might fit up. Never dismantle a banister without labeling the parts. That didn't work, so I called another friend of mine who came over, and, oh, Paul, this is for you as well. We had to take a Sawzall to a portion of the ceiling, and so we basically, this was like fitting a huge rectangular object through a very different shape, you know, thing, but we created the shape. We got it upstairs, and we got the banister back together, and so you don't have to do that part, but the ceiling, you know... But we got the thing. So last night we slept. Now, you know, this is also a candle of hope because I'm not sure Don actually likes this mattress. So that's the 30-day guarantee. And they say we could send it back. And I say, there's no way. I'm not getting it back downstairs. So at any rate, that's the love portion of this. So
we sure do share all our joys.
I'm lighting a candle of either hope or terror, one or the other, or liberation, depending on what moment you ask me. I decided to quit my professor job after this semester, which not because they were making me cry, but because I realized, you know, after many years of trying to make academia work, that I don't like doing what academics do except for the actual teaching in the classroom, but none of the rest of it. And it's really like a free fall for me because this is all I ever wanted to be. And, you know, I don't know who I'm going to be next year, but I'm going to give a shot at being a full-time writer for a few years and see where that takes me. So it's a candle of hope.
Go, Lisa. This is a candle of joy for the Artist's Way group that started last Monday. It's been a great week of writing 3 pages a day. A lot of good stuff has come up. And one of the things I realize is I have so much to be grateful for in my life. And I'd like to light 2 candles. Is that okay? My next candle of joy is shameless promotion for the Coming of Age group, who has really been a joy in my life. I have to say, I love these kids, and I love working with them. Last month, we raised $73 at our bake sale, which will be going to the tsunami victims, and we have another one today. So show a little love, jingle a little change in your pocket, and come buy something to assist the victims of the tsunami, who we have to remember that today many of those people have lost their loved ones, and they're not maybe going to have a happy Valentine's Day like we are. So bless everyone here.
Hi, I'm Linda McNeil. And this weekend, my husband is being inducted into the group that he's going to Iraq with. He's there now, filling out paperwork, getting dental x-rays so they can identify him, and all the other things that go on before they leave. My husband's leaving April 5th.
This is a candle of pure love that we mentioned that my daughter is pregnant. She has definitively decided, in my view, to make the hardest decision and put the baby up for adoption. So it's a pure love for her because I think it's a harder decision than to keep it.
Okay, well, this is a candle of sorrow and hope because my daughter Katie has been having a really, really rough time, as many of you know, over the last year and a half. And she has not been able to maintain her sobriety, so we've made the decision to put her into residential treatment. And that's a very, very hard decision for me because I've really struggled to try to keep her at home. And I have to accept the fact that it didn't work, and I feel like a failure, but it's not completely my fault or responsibility that she's having such a hard time. So, and I'm hoping she'll be able to get into recovery and to go back to being her real self, because we all know what a beautiful person she is and how much potential she has.
I'm Kathy Gallagher. Wow, as always, these are really meaningful and candles here today, powerful candles. But I'm a believer that we have to keep lighting a candle for us every week and for the fellowship through our transition, that we have open minds and open hearts and clear thinking, and we make good decisions so that we're all still here to light these powerful candles every week. So here's a candle for us and our fellowship and all the love that resides here. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Katie. This is a candle of joy. Nothing earth-shaking, but 2 weeks ago I had a very last-minute call to participate in a project interview in Portland, Oregon, which was a lot of fun because I was working with someone I really liked, and she had moved out there. So that was a lot of fun. We didn't get the job. That wasn't so great. But I also got a chance to visit my brother John and his wife Linda and their baby Gina, who are, and Linda told me officially they're having another baby. And I'm very happy for them, and it's a candle of hope for them.
I will light this last candle for all the hopes and joys and sorrows and fears that are in our hearts today. If you have not already realized it, the theme of today's service is love. Love that we experience in its many forms. We will each, in the course of our lives, find ourselves in situations professing love to others, love for others. We will connect in special relationships that will add meaning to our lives. But we must be clear on one thing. Authentic love comes from a place where we often have trouble finding it. And that is love within ourselves, for ourselves. Every now and then, take a moment to get out of your own head, out of your own body, and look at yourself. Look at the person you are, and see yourself as a good friend would. See all that is lovable, and then love you. It is not arrogant to do this. It is not selfish. It is not boastful or vain, something I think many of us were taught at some point in our lives. People come in and out of our lives, but we always stay with ourselves. The love we have to give others is generated within us and is only sustained if we love ourselves as well. So today I'd like to share with you the words of Derek Walcott, a West Indian poet. And he says, "The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door. in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your image from the mirror. Sit and feast on your life. Our first speaker this morning is Catherine Ward.
Good morning. Wanted to leave enough time for a moment of thought to Walcott's words. Thank you. I'd like to consider the fabric of our days and how a single golden thread woven in enriches each day. One golden thread. It is inadequate to change the character of the fabric. It will not change the color or texture. It may even go unnoticed, and yet its glint and glimmer is worth noticing because it can indeed change the tenor with which we remember the day, the gladness with which we consider our lives. No metaphor actually works if it's disconnected from literal reality. Let me give you some examples. I have a friend who is very troubled by her teenage son. He has terrible problems with drugs, with behavior, with staying in school, with fitting into some sort of a rational life. She has done everything she can think of to turn him from this path, to make things work. And nothing she has done has had anything more than a temporary effect. I came upon her recently, just after she had called home to check in with him. Her face was drawn, and her eyes were brimming up, and she said, "It just never ends." Another friend of mine, who was unknown to the first, had wrenching difficulty in raising her son and went through many of the same tortures of guilt and impotence to change what is happening. But her son is grown now, and she is ready to leave the past behind. And yet, without knowing the other woman, knowing only that the other one needed a wharf to lash to, an understanding heart to listen, she reached out and gave the support that was needed, consequently opening herself to the past and risking her own hard-won peace of mind. That's an act of love, and I'm warmed by knowing of it. Angel Flight is an organization that provides air transportation to patients who have to travel far, many of them regularly, between home and specialized medical treatment. Every flight, though not expressed through hugs and kisses, or words, is an act of love. I know of one flight that had to be canceled abruptly because of a combination of technical difficulties and weather, which meant that the young child and his mother would not go home to Maine that night, but would have to spend the night in a local motel, further stretching the financial resources that had already been challenged by the child's illness. So the pilot took them to a motel, checked them in, and without revealing the source, secretly paid for their overnight and let them believe that the organization had taken care of it. This is another act of love, and I am warmed by knowing of it. A school psychologist I know was conducting a group meeting for the children in her school, children whose parents are divorced or separated. And she realized that one young child was particularly angry at his father. And the anger arose because the child thought the reason he was living with his father and not seeing his mother was because his father didn't like his mother. He didn't understand, and the father didn't know how to tell about a court award of custody based on the substance abuse problems of the mother. The psychologist took the boy aside and asked whether he wanted help talking to his father. She arranged the meeting between the boy and his father, attended the meeting, structured it so the boy had the space and the approval to say what he needed to say, and he did. And he was no longer angry. And I'm warmed by knowing of this. A student at my school last year was stricken by depression, among other diagnosed issues, and could not leave her house for months. Another student in her class, not a particular friend of hers, just another student, put together a care package of good books and games and took it to her and stayed to visit. Her teacher, my colleague, baked cake for her and stayed to visit. Another example. I watched the gift of letters to a soldier in Iraq. Not a friend, not a relative, just a soldier who needed letters. And I saw the soldier write back, sharing his experience with his unknown correspondent. Another example. Why do you think people give so much time to this place? Is it because of the big bucks we pay? You know it's because of the love they feel for the place and the people in it, and it shows what is valuable to them. The sound is working again this morning. The heat is on. The daily work and planning necessary for this institution is happening. In May, when sea winds pierced our solitudes, if you'll remember Emerson, Scott and I will celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. How did that happen? Now, a moment of disclaimer. I do not want to suggest that all life is lovely and beautiful and golden sunshine every moment. I'm not a representative of the Care Bears. And I know that there's difficulty and that, frankly, a lot of it stinks. But when you think about it, our days are littered with these moments of love, not expressed physically and most often not articulated in words. They are acts given freely, which ease, gladden, enrich the day of another. You will notice my examples are divided into two types of love, those acts for someone who is essentially unknown and those acts for someone who is a close companion. An important aspect of each of these is that they were acts which made the giver happy too. Don't forget that love works in two directions. Both sides need to get something out of it. Mere sacrifice is inadequate to name the act one of love. The warmth needs to flow back to the giver. And each of these is the golden thread that glimmers in the fabric. It's what makes the fabric valuable, worthy of the emperor.
You don't know it, but we have just experienced a moment of serendipity. I planned some music for the meditation, and I had Catherine speak before that music, and it's a good thing. So I'd ask you to reflect a few minutes as we listen to some special words.
words I have to say may well be simple, but they're true. Until you give your love, there's nothing more that we can do. Love is the opening door. Love is what we came here for. No one could offer you more. Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really seen? Very hard to leave behind the life we knew. But there's no other way. Now it's really up to you. Love is the key we must turn. The flame we must burn. Freedom, the lesson we must learn. Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really seen? What we came here for, no one could offer you more. Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really seen?
Now is the time in our service where we make some people very uncomfortable by talking about money. Love and money seems they should not be together on this day. You should never assume that love will bring you money or that money will buy you love, as the Beatles learned in their young years. But indeed, there is a very positive way that love and money interact with each other. Over 40 years ago, this community, this source for happiness, this Shambhala began. It has seen numerous births, deaths, unions, and milestones in people's lives. It has provided friendship, support, awakening, joy, and love to its members. It is here that we can uncover the light that is within us and let it shine. We need this community. We need this place to gather. And as Catherine so perfectly mentioned, we need the heat, we need the lights, and thus we need the money. We need to provide for ourselves and each other, and so the offering will now be taken for the life and love of this fellowship. And as we do so, I ask that you consider, how does your light shine in these halls of this Shambhala?
Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain with the rain of Shambhala. Hey, wash away my sorrow, away my shame with the rain of Shambhala.
Next speaker this morning is Joseph Simonetti.
Hi there. As chair of the worship committee, I was supposed to say something nice about Pat for stepping in for Rich. I attended my first Unitarian service about 4 years ago at this very fellowship. I don't remember anything about it except love is the doctrine of this fellowship. I don't remember the sermon or anyone I met. Okay, maybe Susie. But I remembered love is the doctrine of this fellowship. Not Christ, not God, not Buddha, love. I remember thinking, I'm down with that. Resonated with the ideals floating around in my head. All you need is love. In the heart of every true revolutionary is love. What's love got to do with it? All right, forget that one. But then I began to think about it. Love is the doctrine of this fellowship. Do I experience love here? Actually, I do, on occasion. When I do, it feels like the one true thing. It feels like the reason for living. I feel a deep connection through our common experience as human beings. No judgment or being judged. True acceptance, validation, a sense that we are good enough as we are, nothing to prove. But being in that emotional place with someone is fleeting, and it usually gets complicated very quickly. Are they feeling it? Do I give love without expectation of reciprocity? Do I have to do anything to back it up? Or can I just say, love you, man, gotta go? And what about the when Harry met Sally question? We've been debating that in the men's group for about 3 years, and I'm sure we'll debate it for the next 3 years. And then I think love is the doctrine of this fellowship. Is love our dogma, our creed? Funny, it didn't look creedish. Can I love my fellow UU like myself? Actually, I think most of you deserve better than that. Can I feel loving to all of you? Not in this lifetime. Maybe I can just not dislike anybody. Try again. Maybe it means, however, to be open to the possibility that you can feel love for a particular moment. Maybe the expectation of sustaining that love is never what was intended. Then maybe in the true spirit of Unitarianism, we should say, being open to feeling a moment of love, even though it is fleeting, and you won't feel it for most people, is the doctrine of this fellowship. Not very poetic. All right. But does it do me any good to have a doctrine I am constantly in violation of? But love is the doctrine of this fellowship. So how do I make this real for me, with all of you here? No one's got an answer. See, beats the hell out of me. Although I have an idea I have been thinking about. I've been thinking about the notion of 6 degrees of separation. You know that idea that all the people in the world are connected by no more than 6 degrees of separation, meaning you know someone who knows someone, etc., until you get from you to anyone in the world in 6 connections. Let's agree it's not hard science, but it fits with that interdependent web stuff. Most of us in this room have no degrees of separation because most of us know one another. And the rest of us have at most 1 or 2 degrees of separation. Now we throw in the love thing, and it's a little different. But maybe not so different. Can I feel love for someone who can feel love for someone, etc., until we are all connected through love by 6 degrees of separation? I think so. I'll bet many of us are connected by 1 degree, or maybe all of us are connected by as few as 2 or 3. Now, I know many of you are thinking, so there is love between me and Joe if I just use 2 or 3 people in this room to connect us. Really? Well, I'm probably thinking the same about you. But maybe we should strain our brains to thinking about how we might have even less separation between us. Let's not get ridiculous and try to have a direct connection with everyone. But maybe the next time one of us pisses you off, you can say, I ain't feeling the love, but I probably love someone who loves someone who does. It's worth a try.
I would like to offer the following words by the Southern Black American poet Nikki Giovanni. I've heard all the stories about how you don't deserve me, 'cause I'm so strong and beautiful and wonderful, and you could never live up to what you know I should have. But I just want to let you know, I take MasterCard. You can love me as much as your heart can stand, then put the rest on account and pay the interest each month until we get this settled. You see, we modern women do comprehend that we deserve a whole lot more than what is normally being offered, but we are trying to get aligned with the modern world. So, baby, you can love me all you like, 'cause you're pre-approved. And you don't have to sign on the bottom line. Charge it up till we can't take no more. It's the modern way. I take MasterCard to see your Visa. And I deal with Discovery, but I don't want no American Express. 'Cause like the Pointer Sisters say, I need a slow hand. Our next speaker is Graham Clark.
Morning.
Morning.
I have no paper. Pat, among other people, and Rich all told me I probably should write something out, even have an index card with a couple of talking points. I almost lost it during the prelude, so there were many moments during this where the tears were welling up in my eyes. And I went to Boston College, and that's where I met my wife. When I first heard her speak out loud, the words in my head were, wow, what a ditz. And when she heard me speak out loud, she said, well, I guess I can't say it, right? But she said, what an arrogant jerk he is. I would say we were both wrong, but I know us too well by now to not have both right about those things. I had had so many bad relationships up until that point. Just, and you'd think it couldn't get any worse than the last one. I always talk about them as train wrecks, because there's just so many things get spilled onto the sides of the rails, and they're so long to clean up, and you do so much damage, and, you know, it's just expensive, and it's, you know, they were train wrecks. And Peggy, after telling me her history, had also had these awful, awful relationships. Awful. So when we met each other, we were trying to sort of straighten our lives out, and we had no intention of getting. I had grown my hair. I would call it long, except my hair doesn't really go long. It just sort of goes large when I grow up, and I had large hair, and I grew a goatee, but I don't have a particularly full beard. So I looked like this sort of large-haired man that had some sort of magic marker accident going on my face. And I did this on purpose because I knew how ugly that was, because I knew myself well enough to know I did not need a relationship right now. So I tried to make myself as ugly as possible. I mean, this is college. You see perspectives every day, every hour. So I'm trying to just throw a blanket over myself relationship-wise. And Peg and I were talking about what I was going to say. And there are two sides. There's what we were given and over which we have no control as far as a relationship goes. And then there's the other side, which is everything we worked for, that we could preach about. Yeah, do it this way, And then there's the other side, which is, well, that's just what we were given. I never had met a woman before. I'll never met a man. I had never met a human before. I like Joe, I won't speak for him, but I know I just don't like that many people and don't respect that many people, and I wish I were different, and I've often tried to be different, but I'm not. That's who I am, and I try to work with the dough I was given. And I never met a person I both liked and respected. I met some people I respected, but I didn't particularly like. And I met some people I liked, but come on. Peggy was the first one that sort of fit into both categories, and I was lying in bed with her one day, early on in the relationship. We had known each other for a year before we really started dating. We had no intention of dating when we became friends either. And I was lying in bed, and I remember saying out loud, and this is what Rich Norris asked me for when he asked me to speak, what's the title of your... And I said, the title is No Games. No Games. Relationships up until that point had been who loves who more, and what can you make the other person do because they love you, or what could they make you do because you love them? It was a very power struggly kind of dangerous liaisons writ small kind of thing. And I said to her, no games, no games. And I just said it pedantically, didactically. I was like, I was lying there in bed, and it was pitch black, and the streetlights are coming in through the windows. And I just pointed out, I went, no games. No mind games. Not now, not ever. Okay? I'm serious. And she says, okay. And that was it. And that's what our relationship is based on. Honesty. It's often hard to be honest because it means short-term problems, to be honest. And to be honest is often the wrong thing to do. But that's what we base our relationship on, because I find that if you're not honest, what do you have? You have nothing. You have no one. So I say things that are not pleasing sometimes, and so does she, because it avoids the larger problems. The thing I was given was that I like her, that I love her, that I'm not a I'm not a good man. I no longer have aspirations of being a good man either. And I think sometimes, well, if Peggy dies, what am I going to do? And I know I'll be okay. You know why? This is really hard to say. Because of my relationship with my friend, I know I'm lovable, and she doesn't have to be here anymore for that to be true. She can go if she has to. I mean, I believe everything about being the person to love, and that love is centered in yourself, and that you need to be okay in order to be in a right relationship. But being lovable was a lesson I learned through Peggy. I keep going on and on, so I'll stop. I have no advice for anybody as far as love goes, because I do, of course. I have opinions about everything. But we tell each other the truth. Happy Valentine's.
Amen. Joe, as chair of the worship committee, had run request of me in doing today's service, and that was that we not sing anything from the hymnal. So in that spirit, I ask you to take your hymnal out, please. And we will be singing hymn number 34, Though I May Speak with Bravest Fire. And please pay attention to the words. They fit. Realize we are a little long. Are you interested in having a congregational reflection? Or should we move on? Move on. Okay. Our closing words today. And before I say them, I warn you, we will be closing a little differently this morning. We'll not be singing Go Now in Peace. Those of you who are disappointed, I'm sorry. Those of you who are happy, yo. Our closing words today. For as long as we continue to respect and honor ourselves, for as long as we continue to gather in community, for as long as we continue to see the beauty of ordinary moments, for as long as we continue to share our lives, we shall love and be loved. Amen. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. I ask you to join our closing hymn. The words are in your order of service on a small piece of paper. They are the wonderful George and Ira Gershwin song, "Our Love Is Here to Stay."